We begin with these words. Today, we meet in the presence of God, who knows our needs, who hears our cries, who feels our pain. We meet in the presence of God, who heals our wounds. But we also meet with thanksgiving to God for the gift of the great love that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we meet with even greater joy, knowing that the presence of the Lord is with us by the power of the Spirit. And so this morning, welcome to worship. We have a few faces that are familiar but not always with us, and so we don't really consider you to be visitors. You are family and friends, but nonetheless, we are glad that you are here, and we pray that your experience, worship experience with us today, will be a blessing for you. If you look around toward the end of the service, when we're doing our passing the peace, and you see a face that is not familiar, Eastminster, do what you do best and show the hospitality of the Lord. If you'll take a moment to record your attendance, your presence on the pew pads, that would be wonderful. And then just kind of a recap of the last few weeks, if you will. We have done light looking. We have done birthday parties. We have celebrated the life of Pat Garrett. We had Christmas Village yesterday. I am tired, but I will tell you, for me, it is the most wonderful tired in the world. Whenever I am with God's people, I am energized. And so, if that is not true for you, I pray that the tiredness that you feel in your body, which I do feel in my body, will be rejuvenated even as your spirits are lifted up. But for all of you who these last 3 weeks have just pushed yourselves to the limits, thank you very much for your faithfulness. We have some birthdays specifically today. We also have an anniversary next week. And I don't have Jacob with me here this morning, so I may miss a birthday. So if you have a birthday anytime this week, you need to let me know right now. Okay. If not, then we celebrate this morning Denise's birthday and Christine's birthday. Believe it or not, my niece's birthday, and next week we celebrate Melody and Bill's anniversary. So if we can do a rendition of all of that anniversary birthday together, let's do it. And Denise and Christine, would you stand? And Melody, I don't know if you can stand or not. We move on now to our joys and our concerns. Take a moment, if you will, to look in the bulletin for those that are there by way of concern, and maybe not so much concern for Steve as just blessings for this week for him. But there are a few more that are not listed in your bulletin that I want to bring to your attention. And one of those being Will Nixon's mother, Eunice. Eunice is 94, and tomorrow she will have hip replacement. And so Will has asked us to keep Eunice in our prayers for that. And then on my desk was a prayer request. I am going to assume that it is from Jacob. What the card read, that a friend of Jacob's day school named Michael lost his mother last week, And so I am that Jacob Wood is the only other Jacob I know. So keep Jacob and that family in your prayers. Michael's family, if I hear differently, I will let you know. But I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Like I said, I just found that this morning. So we keep all of these in our prayers. I want to start, start the way that we ended last week. Last week we ended with God's blessing reminding us that we needed to be listening for God's wisdom and relishing God's might and hoping and praying for God's counsel in all things. This week I want to start with that same passage because, as you know, in our country, in all of the world, but in particularly our country, in this coming week and a little past that as it goes on, we need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer for our leaders from the top all the way to the bottom, from world leaders, our national leaders, our county, our state. All who govern us in this world need to know the love and the justice of Jesus Christ in this day. And so my prayer this morning is by way of scripture from Isaiah. Would you close your eyes and join me? Lord, we know that these verses are meant to rest upon your Son, Jesus Christ. But I also can't think of a better place for them to rest and to settle on, and I pray to settle in, than on our leaders this coming week particularly. And so, Lord, for what we humans can't do, but know that you can do, we ask this for all of our world and all of our leaders. May your spirit of wisdom and understanding, may your spirit of counsel and your spirit of might and strength, may your spirit of knowledge, and most certainly, may the spirit of that reverence that we have for you as our Lord be present, not only in those who claim you as Lord, but those who need to claim you as Lord. Be with our country this week, Lord, as we seek to do what only you can do through us, and that is to end division and to bring peace. Amen. We have continued our Advent preparations, as you will notice, joining our gold and our white this week and our purple, we now have this beautiful color of celebration of red. And so we bless again those symbols of our faith that the Lord has given us this day. So how will we continue preparing God's house for the coming of the Christ child? So as we surround ourselves with the beauty of the flower and the steadfast faith of the Lord, we remember the words of the wise men who came and said, "Where is the one who is to be born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him."
Thank you. God of glory, we light the third candle of Advent.
We look to John, the one sent us to point to Christ's light. The light will come into our world and enlighten everyone.
Together, we pause for a few moments, remembering those who have called us to see God's light and then challenged us to follow it. They seem, like John, called by God to prepare us for a deeper faith. God sent John the Baptizer to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus Christ, the true light of the world. John called for people to repent of their sins and to live faithfully. He baptized with a cleansing water and proclaimed the new life that Christ, the one who would follow him, would bring. This Advent, we ask for God's mercy and a joyful new beginning.
For the God of call, who both challenges and equips us to proclaim good news, we say,
Vivian has something that she also wants to say. She said this at her school play last week, and it's something we all need to hear. So can you say it very loud, Miss Vivian?
Glory to God in the highest.
Amen. Thank you, Vivian.
Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days and walk with us until the day of your coming. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Thank you. gospel reading this morning comes from the 11th chapter of Matthew, verses 2 through 11. We continue to follow along with this wild, hairy, locust-eating man who has come to shout out to the world that one greater than he is coming. Listen as we continue John's story. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent words by his disciples, and they said to him, "Are you the one who is to come? Are you the one, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "You go and you tell John what you hear and what you see. Because the blind will receive sight, the lame will walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf will hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." And so as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? Well, then what did you go out and see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. So what then did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, even more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending a messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you.' And so truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater even than he." The grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of our Lord lasts forever. Thanks. So, there were some children who were decked out in donkey dugs, and they were braying all over the place. More than one braying. Then, we had some angels who were waving their wings, and they were shouting out in joy, just like our own Miss Vivian did today when they shouted out, "Glory to God in the highest." there just also happened to be some shepherds who were keeping watch over their sheep by night with their sticks that had been turned to staffs. And surely some of you out there can do sheep, right? Let's do it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This one may be a challenge. There were other kids who were magically transformed into camels. That one will work. That's good. But there were also some wise men who were over here saying, okay, camels, settle down, settle down. There are, however, not many churches who can duplicate this scene that we all know to be the Christmas pageant, and particularly this scene as it appears in The Preacher's Wife. Because someone, if you all remember, made a really bad decision about baby Jesus. Do you remember that scene? Someone brought baby Wet-Wet to be baby Jesus. And just as Mary picks up baby Wet-Wet, he wets. And so, in something that we call a strange turn of events, Mary actually gets up and she abandons Joseph. And as she leaves, she is shaking the water off of her clothing. But never fear, in steps Mary's understudy to save the play. And with that kind of angelic voice that only Whitney Houston had, our ears are filled with the sound of joy as she sings these words of Mary. Mommies and daddies always believe that their angels are special indeed and that you can grow up to be anything. But who would imagine a king? A shepherd? A teacher? It's what you could be, or maybe a fisherman out on the sea, maybe a carpenter building things, but who could imagine a king? It was so clear when the wise men arrived and the angels were singing your name that the world would be different because you were alive. That's why heaven stood still and proclaimed. And then one day an angel said quietly that soon he would bring something special to me and all of the wonderful gifts that he could bring. Who would imagine? Who could imagine? Who would imagine a king? If you have not watched that movie in a long time, I recommend it. It is wonderful. But you know what? Humans, as we are, we can only imagine, and yet it is God who delivers. God makes good on promises, and God has given to us the great deliverer, the one we call Jesus Christ. In the words of Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And that son has been given as a gift to us that we are to share with all. Yesterday, for year number 6, the Eastminster Village came to life, and we had many sons and many daughters. We had our share of little angels. We also had our share of a few wild sheep that roamed up and down the halls. But we also had mamas who imagine and who hope that their little ones can be and can do anything. I still believe that our calling in this ministry, as in any ministry, is to share that one thing that you and I don't have to imagine. We don't have to imagine that each one of us is a child of God. All we have to do is believe it. There's no imagining. It is a promise in which we can choose to trust or not. And it was a promise that God's people needed in Isaiah's time. They were struggling with ruthless leaders, with poverty, with violence, with inequalities, with injustices, and they were just flat worn down. They believed in God, but they were tired. And they needed someone to hold hope for them until they could take it back for themselves. And that is not unlike some of our guests that we met here at Eastminster yesterday. Life isn't always easy, whether that be for our guests or whether it be for any of us sitting here. Life just isn't always easy. Whether it's the economy that takes a turn, whether it be an act of violence that leaves us wondering if we will ever be delivered from a world of hatred, or maybe an illness that just came on without any warning. Life can be hard. We want to trust in God's presence with us, but there are times when what we really want are real hugs. And yesterday, those hugs were plentiful, and there were a whole lot of smiles to go with those hugs. It is just reality that from time to time in each of our lives, we need to hand hope to someone else because it's just too much for us to imagine. Yesterday, with about 24 kiddos and their families, and for many of us, even within our own life struggles, the arms of God, the feet of Jesus, and the comfort and the laughter of the Holy Spirit held hope in their hands and in our hands. And I cannot imagine that God is more than pleased. For a moment in time, darkness was banished. There was that heavy-heartedness that was lightened. For any of you who come to the Christmas Village, you watch these families come in with this anxiousness, with this not knowing, with this, oh great, here it is, somebody's giving us another handout. And I promise you, within about 10 minutes, they are grateful and thankful, and they are laughing and they are smiling. And I believe that their hearts are lightened. Not unlike Isaiah's time. Like I said, those first chapters in Isaiah have talked with dark language about a heart heaviness that's reality. It is for them part of life, but it is not God's final story. Instead of doom and gloom, with our readings this morning, Isaiah and Matthew remind us of the promise of change, a promise of rebirth, a promise of hope. It's that kind of transformation that you and I may only be able to imagine, but God delivers. Our relationship, yours and mine, with God can be strengthened when we find our spirits, that the spirit that rests upon us can open the eyes of the blind, that spirit who can help unstop our ears so that we can hear. And rising out of the doom and the doubt of that feeling forever in a rut kind of feeling, it may be hard for us to imagine, but don't imagine. Believe in God's great promise of joy. And do that depending not upon yourself, not depending upon anyone else, but fully, totally, completely depending upon God, the one in whom we put our trust, the one who is our deliverer. Is Jesus the same one who has the lame leaping like the deer and the silent tongue shouting out with praise? Our dependency upon God brings with it the arms, the real arms of God's people. For all of us here for all of those who cross our path. We can choose. We can choose to live short, to shortchange God's healed and whole imaginings for us, or we can, like those messages of Isaiah and Matthew, choose to live in the patience of the Lord, trusting that our moments of hopeless despair are not ever the final word, but instead believing that Jesus, through the hands, the hearts, the feet, the voices of those who have skin on us, through them, God will bring about joy. And that's what this 35th chapter of Isaiah did for those Israelites back then. It provided them with that sense of joy that they so needed. It was a joy that they could hold on to when things were tough, when all of those other worlds were taking them over, when they were being scattered to all parts of the world. The promise of a redeemed nation gave them the sense of joy that no one could take away. And that promise of joy that no one can take away from us is still ours today. I think you've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. There is just, with happiness, it is just that kind of fleeting moment. There is that 1 minute of happiness and then it is gone. Joy, on the other hand, is more substantial. It is something that is rooted much deeper than just a single moment. Isaiah talks about this gift of joy as something that we can grab onto because it isn't fleeting. It is eternal. It isn't just a moment. It is a promise of complete wholeness. It is a promise of forever transformation. Through the stories of our new friends yesterday, we heard of lost jobs. We heard about some irresponsible decisions, about unexpected illnesses. We heard about circumstances that were beyond their control that were making this season one of heartache and sadness, not one of joy. By the world's standards for them, Christmas was not shaping up to be that time of great joy that you and I, as parents and as grandparents, want for children. But I am convinced, still convinced, that God had, that God has, and God will continue to have a plan for this congregation, whether it is Christmas Village for 6 more years, whether it is breakfast for 6 more years, whatever that is, I am convinced that God has a plan for this congregation where families can tangibly see and hold and have hope given back to them. From our months of prayer, our purchasing our gifts, from our gifts of our talent and our time and our treasures, God has been and is at work in each and every one of us. And God continues to imagine what you and I never dream possible. As disciples, God used us to deliver more than a momentary happiness yesterday. By the power of the Spirit within us, by the work of our collective hands and our heads and our hearts, that true, deep joy of the Lord was shared. And I believe it gave God great pleasure to use our hands to hold hope for our friends yesterday And I also believe that there were a few of our friends who actually took hope back with them when they left. This season, I hope that each of us continues to find that kind of joy that makes the desert start to bloom, that leads us down those holy highways. I pray that when we hit a rough patch in our lives, that we remember that we don't go it alone, that the church, the body of Christ in this place and in all places, is the best place that we can imagine to be. It's that place where we can be fed with the love of God, with the peace of Christ, with the fellowship of the Spirit, and with skin from those who sit around you and who greet you each week, brothers and sisters in Christ. In talking with one of our new friends yesterday, she made this comment: "I don't think that my life is good enough to be in church." My response to her was, none of us have to have it together in order to come and to say thank you to God, because God already knows who we are, and we are God's loved children. Barbara Brown Taylor says this: "Church is a place to be comfortable being uncomfortable with life. It is here that it is okay to be not okay. It is here where we can help each other deal with what issues we have. We can pray together. We can cry together. We can hold hands, and we can whisper because we're not alone. It is by being church that God delivers far more than we can imagine. The body of Christ is that place where we can put our anchor down so that when the storms of life threaten to push us around, holding on to the truth, that joy we can have is not just happiness. It is God's forever joy, because it is a promise of redemption and transformation. And it is that promise that is found in knowing what is will not always be." I don't know about those of us sitting in here if I ask the question, is that hard to imagine? But yesterday, it was hard for some of those young mamas to imagine that. But I pray that it is increasingly less and less, because the God who imagined a king in a tiny little child has delivered to you and to me and to each of them this everlasting gift, not wrapped up in ribbons and bows, but wrapped up in our hearts, this gift of everlasting salvation. And that, my friends, deserves all of our offering of thanksgiving, and our thanksgiving with great joy. Glory to God in the highest. Amen.
We have heard the word of the Lord read and proclaimed, the very word that gives strength to our faith. Embracing that strength, will you please stand and join as together we affirm what we believe?
Thank you.
as we prepare our hearts to have a conversation with God. We have not a conversation just for our concerns. We talk to God about our joys. And so there are moments in this prayer today where there will be some silence. We are not a congregation that likes to shout out. However, you are invited to do so, to shout out a thanksgiving, a joy, or to whisper a concern. However you feel led, this is your time to talk with God. Let us pray. In that hushed anticipation of your coming, Lord, kindle in us that desire to remain awake so that we might be ready for your coming and that we might continue to pray eagerly. And God, in days to come, the mountain of your house will be established. Your joy will reign. And so we pray for the church, for your church, that you might teach us your ways and that we might walk in your paths. And so, Lord Jesus, hear either in the silence of our hearts or with our voices, our thanksgiving or our concerns, not only for your church universal, Lord, but for this congregation here at Eastminster. Hear our prayers. Out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and you, Lord, will be the judge between the nations. And so, Lord, this morning we continue our prayer for our nation, for all nations, and for leaders in all places, that your peace would be manifest in every corner of this earth. So, Lord Jesus, hear our prayers for our world and our leaders. In your kingdom, Lord, wolves lie down with lambs and children. They play with serpents without fear. And so, Lord, this morning we pray for those who do live in fear or distress, for those who are sick or suffering, for those, Lord, who need to be healed of any injury, for those who need comfort from grieving, and, Lord, even for those who need to settle old wrongs. Lord, hear our prayer. In your kingdom, even the wilderness and the dry land are glad and they rejoice. And so we pray with those who rejoice this week as they celebrate birthdays and anniversaries, as they celebrate all kinds of life's good. We pray, Lord, that they may have the joy and the gladness that comes with your Spirit. Hear our prayers, Lord. In the fullness of time, you sent your son to be born of our sister Mary. And his name was Emmanuel, God with us. And so we thank you for your presence with us. And we pray that you might always be present with those whom we love, but those that we can no longer see. For all of your angels that surround us as your great cloud of witnesses, Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers so that when your Son Jesus comes among us with great might and in a manger mild, we will recognize his face and his voice, and we will come to adore him, him who taught us to pray together saying, the day of rejoicing is coming, says the prophet Isaiah, and we await it together. And so our gifts in this season of waiting and hope are those that help us strengthen one another. These gifts are ones that give hope to those who look forward to a day when they can have everlasting joy. And so this morning, may we gather with great thanksgiving God's tithes and our offerings.
Please join in the prayer of thanksgiving. God,
grace,
May we leave this place today, first of all, with an attitude of thanksgiving, with hearts full of joy, and also with that resolve to pray, to go home and to pray for that kind of joy that we know God has promised us that the world also needs to know. And together I ask that we say our wonderful line that we have practiced. And Miss Vivian, would you say it with us?
Glory to God in the highest.
Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also